I want to thank everyone for being here this morning, especially our visitors. We do thank you for coming our way this morning. It is an honor and a privilege to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning I'm going to bring you a lesson about the man-made religious holiday known as Christmas, and hope you will see the human error in claiming that December the 25th is a biblical holiday or the birthday of Jesus. The title of this morning's lesson is Away from the Manger. Away from the Manger. So please open your Bibles and follow along with me on this all-important lesson. As always, the Bible will be our guide, not some man-made creeds. So please don't take my word or any man's word, only the Word of God. Let's now talk about Christmas or Away from the Manger. Now, it's that time of year again. The air has become crisp and cold. The days are shorter. All the leaves have fallen. And the city streets are lighted with multicolored lights. The shopping malls have been jammed with people. The airports are very crowded and the highways are filled with people traveling to their homes. Drive past almost any denominational church building and you will see a nativity scene out front. Some even have live characters and live animals in them. And if there's not a nativity scene, you can almost be certain there will be some kind of Christmas message on their sign or in their front yard. Over and over, you will hear preachers decrying the fact that Christ has been taken out of Christmas. Inevitably, you will see stories on the news in which little children will tell us that Christmas is the birthday of baby Jesus. We will see hundreds of images of Mary holding the infant Jesus close to her breast or the peaceful baby lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. But by the way, brethren, a large part of the religious world refers to Mary as the Mother of God. And I want you to understand this. Mary had nothing whatsoever to do with the divinity of Jesus. He was both God and man, and it was solely the flesh part of that involved Mary, that which was conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1:20. But this is that time of year when the religious world in general makes a united effort to commemorate the birth of our Lord. So let me say at this time, the word Christmas appears nowhere in the New Testament. Let me say also that the Bible does not give date or month or year of our Lord's birth, and it is impossible to determine the exact date of his birth from the evidence of the Gospels or from any secular history or from any sound tradition. Let me also say that the Bible has no indication whatsoever that the first century church ever celebrated the birth of our Lord as a special religious day. Those who celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday do solely on the basis of man's authority and not God's. The religious celebration of Christmas cannot be done by faith, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, according to Romans 10:17. And the Word of God nowhere, brethren, nowhere mentions the celebration of Christmas. But let's face it, the religious world is at this time bowing before the manger of Jesus. People are enamored with that little baby. There is something inherent within us that draws us to an infant. You see, an infant is small and helpless, totally non-threatening. An infant doesn't tell us what to do or what not to do. An infant does not rebuke or demand obedience. Who doesn't love a small, wiggling, laughing, cooing baby, or who haven't felt their heart melt at the sight of or even the thought of an infant all warmly snuggled and wrapped in a blanket, peacefully sleeping? But my friends, it is way past time for the religious world and the world in general to get away from the manger and to remember that Jesus grew up. Oh, sure, a lot of people want to jump right forward and go right to the resurrection or to the celebration of another man-made holiday known as Easter. But they forget practically all that the man Jesus taught and demanded during the three years of his adult public ministry. Everybody wants to praise the baby Jesus. But most people, even the religious-minded, don't want to obey the adult Jesus Christ. So let's get away from the manger to the adult years, Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 with me, if you will. Matthew chapter 7. So first, let's get away from the manger to the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And yes, my friends, Jesus grew up. He became a man, and He taught us how to live. And in teaching us how to live, He taught us there is only one way to heaven. He taught that most people were not going to find it. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, look with me. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus taught here. He taught here that most people will not go to heaven. They will not go to heaven. How sad that is. But yes, my friends, the adult Jesus taught that there is but one body, and that one body is the church, His church. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4, we're told there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. And Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 tells us that body is the church. The church that Jesus built and the church that Jesus died for. Now some very religious people, indeed those who are currently bowing before the manger of the baby Jesus, are denying the very things that the adult Jesus taught us by saying that there are many roads to heaven. And they are encouraging you to choose the one that most appeals to you. Choose the church of your choice is a modern call of the denominationalist. But let me tell you something, my friends. If you want to get to heaven, you must choose the church that the adult Jesus built. His church, the church of Christ, the only church you read about in the New Testament. Indeed, the adult Jesus taught that there would be many religious people, pious-looking and pious-sounding people, who would not make it because they practice unauthorized things in the name of religion, unauthorized by Christ, thereby operating in the realm of iniquity. Come with me. Stay with me in Matthew the 7th chapter, and this time look at verses 21 through 23. Here we frequently read these verses. However, I believe if these words were understood and believed by the world, there would not be any denominations, only the church that Jesus built, His church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful things?" Listen to what he says. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." So what is Jesus saying here, brethren and friends? He is saying not to do anything religiously without His authority. And that, my friends, includes all denominations. Why? Because all denominations were established without His authority. Second point. My friends, let us get away from the manger and to the scene in the temple during the adult years of our Lord Jesus. Now, the Jews in the day of Christ had made the temple a place of merchandise for their personal profit. And in doing so, they instituted all sorts of unauthorized practices. On one memorable occasion, our Lord walked into the temple. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, we'll pick up reading in verse 13 and see what happened. Verse 13. "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." Oh yes, brethren and friends, the baby Jesus grew up. He displayed His righteous anger and His contempt towards those who cheapened their worship and made it of no effect. So everywhere we go today, churches are begging for money. And to get that money, they promote every gag, every game, every gimmick they can think of to draw people in. They push and promote their athletic teams, their youth rallies, their busing programs, and their fellowship halls, as if to say the life, the work, and the teaching of the adult Jesus is not enough to draw people. How blasphemous that is. Make it big, make it modern, make it fancy, make it fun. Give the people what they want. But what about what the adult Jesus wanted? The third point I want to make. Let us get away from the manger and look on Jesus as he rebuked the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. Now, an infant can rebuke no one, but the adult Jesus did. He told the religious leaders of that day that they were inconsistent. He said they were hypocrites, and did so to their faces in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Look with me, if you will. Matthew, the 23rd chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Matthew 23, beginning verse 1. Then Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on the men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works, they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the garments of their borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seat in the synagogues and greetings in the market, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Look at what he says in verse 9. He says, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Thus the adult Jesus condemned the wearing of religious titles that tend to elevate men and exalt mere men. Ironic, isn't it? Listen, isn't this ironic that so many of the very ones who at this time of the year are promoting Christmas as a religious holy day, so many of the very ones who are leading people to bow before the manger of the infant Jesus, do so while calling themselves reverend, pastor, or father? The very, very things that Jesus condemned, as we read in Matthew 23, verse 7 through 9. It would be a fine thing if we could get people away from the manger and nearer to the teachings of the adult Jesus. Now look at Matthew, the 17th chapter, if you would. Let us also get away from the manger to the Mount of Transfiguration. It was on this occasion that God's voice thundered from heaven and said in verse 5, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. But brethren and friends, did you know that three times a voice from heaven proclaims in the presence of man God's recognition of Jesus as his Son? First, turn to Matthew 3 and verse 17. Verse 17 of Matthew 3, and a low voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The second was in Matthew 17 and verse 5, which we just read, but I want you to turn to John 12 and verse 28 for the third time. John 12 and verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The Father spoke from heaven in the presence of men that Jesus was his beloved Son, and we are to obey him if we want to go to heaven. But a baby Jesus grew up and he became a man. He became a man that we must acknowledge as both Lord of Lords and King of Kings. A man before whom we must bow in humble submission, doing what he says and not what man says. We need to move away from the manger to the Mount of Transfiguration in an obedient faith in Jesus, a total commitment to His Word and His authority. It was the adult Jesus, my Lord, who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16:16. You can understand that, and I can understand that, but truly most of the religious world won't even submit to this teaching of the adult Jesus. Fifth and finally, let us get away from the manger to the cross of Calvary. The same Jesus was born and laid in a manger. He grew up and was rejected by His own people. He was betrayed by one of His chosen 12, and He was denied by a personal friend. He was seized and He was tried illegally under a frantic mob which demanded that He be crucified. He was mocked, He was belittled, He was ridiculed, He was spit upon, and He was nailed to a cross. But His death was not in vain. Through His death, the old law was removed and fulfilled according to Colossians 2 and verse 14. His blood was shed to redeem men from their sins, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. And with His blood He purchased the one true church, Acts 20 and verse 28. That baby in the manger grew up and became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey Him. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey Him. The Hebrew writer affirms this in Hebrews 5 and verse 9. So what must we do? We must believe, we must repent, we must confess and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Then remain faithful, serving Him as our Lord and Master until the day that we go home to heaven to be eternally with Him. But while so many are bowing before the manger at this time of the year, it would be so much better and it would be in accord with His will if people would instead bow before His authority. Brethren and friends, that baby Jesus grew up and we need to listen to and obey that adult Jesus Christ, which is both Lord and Master. So let us move away from the manger and closer to Jesus. Understand now, please understand this. I am so thankful that Jesus was born into this world. Indeed, I am. I am thankful enough to do just what the church He founded did in the first century. Each year, it is sad to see so many people ignoring true scriptural worship in favor of focusing their energies on worship that is not even prescribed in the Bible. While there is certainly nothing wrong with taking advantage of the Christmas holidays as a time to gather with our loved ones, let's be careful not to use it as an occasion to engage in vain worship that is according to the traditions of men. So when you think about it, it is evident that Christmas has a non-religious side to it also. Most of the popular Christmas stories in the movies and songs make no reference to the birth of Jesus. Their message is that of celebrating time with family and engaging in spirit of goodwill, which is a legitimate approach to this season. I know of atheists and Jews who place lights on their houses and exchange gifts for Christmas, and they certainly are not celebrating Christ's birthday. Is it possible for Christians to esteem Christmas in the same non-religious manner? We may enjoy the lights, the gifts, the parties, and close our businesses on December the 25th without celebrating that day is the birth of Christ. I believe we can do that. Now, there won't be a special Christmas service at Faithful Churches of Christ this season, just like here at Prairie Village. We will meet to observe the Lord's Supper, which we did earlier. We will study the Bible together, as we're doing now. We'll pray together, we'll sing together, and give of our means together, just like we do the other Sundays in the year. We celebrate the death every first day of the week as we partake of the Lord's Supper in commemories of His great sacrifice. This is what we're called upon to commemorate, to celebrate, and to remember. Nothing more, nothing less. So if it sounds like that's the right thing to do, then why don't you become a Christian right now, and God will add you to His church. the Church of Christ, the New Testament Church. You need to step down, if you would. Step down the aisle as we sing. Please take this advantage. Please take this advantage this very morning to become a Christian. And you do that by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then you'll rise out of that water a new creature. You'll be born again. You will not have one sin on your mind, your body then. And this is the day that He comes back. All of us here will go home together. If you're not a faithful Christian, if you sin in a way that others are aware of, you too need to take advantage of this morning. You come forward. After you repented to God, you need to come forward. Let us pray with you and pray for you. And then you'll again be a member in good standing. I know this sermon would probably shock a lot of people. But that's what it is. Exactly what I said is what it is. So if we can help anyone, make their life right with God, please do so right now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.